What would cause a man with three doctor's degrees, one in medicine, one in theology, and one in philosophy, what would cause him to leave the life he knew in Europe and spend years and years of his life in the deep, dark jungles of Africa? What scripture text would cause a man who was recognized as one of the best concert organists of all time, a man who was known as an authority on the music of Bach, to go to a place where there were no organs to play? What scripture would so intensely motivate a man that he would give up a teaching position in Vienna to go and deal with people who were so deprived that they were still living in the superstitions of ancient days? The man I'm talking about is perhaps a man you've heard about. His name is Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Have you heard the name?
Yes.
Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Born in 1875, died 1965, a man who received acclaim from the world during his life. He eventually won the Nobel Prize in 1952. But that was after spending many, many years in Lambarini, West Africa, helping people with their medical needs. The scripture passage that changed Dr. Schweitzer's life was the one that we just read. Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. A scripture passage that is sometimes called the rich man and Lazarus. Today I would like for us to look at this scripture passage, which has the potential to change your life, as it did Albert Schweitzer's. And I would like for us to consider the question, how will you respond to the needs of other people? Dr. Schweitzer responded to the needs of people in Africa. Jesus responded to the needs of you and me as he gave himself. And it seems to me if we're going to live the Christian faith, we need to give attention to the needs of people all around us. And there are many needs among the people that are in our lives. It might be your husband or your wife. It might be your children or your parents. It might be the people with whom you work. It might be folks that you see at the store. There are lots of needs all around us. The question is, how will we respond to those needs? So let's look together at this very important passage of Scripture. Keep your Bibles open, if you will, to Luke chapter 16, and I hope that all of you have this piece of paper that was given out. Does anyone need one? And I would like for us to consider four very important truths that we find coming out of these verses in Luke 16. First, let's look together carefully at the scripture. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that there are two men here in this scripture, the rich man and Lazarus. They saw each other every day, but their response to each other was very different. Their lives were very different. First, the rich man. He is sometimes called Dives. In fact, your scripture might even name him Dives. Dives is simply the Latin word for rich man. The rich man, of course, was wealthy, and he was very self-centered, and he lived in luxury. Look at verse 19. He lived in luxury every day. He dressed in purple, the purple dye for clothes in the first century was the most expensive dye that could be purchased. Linen undergarments and linen garments were very expensive in that day. This man lived in luxury. And he was self-centered. But now let's look at Lazarus. Verses 20 and 21 tell us that Lazarus was laid at the gate of the rich man, meaning probably he could not walk. He also was very sick, covered with sores. He was also very hungry, eager to eat even the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores, the only creatures on earth that paid attention to him. So what greater contrast could there be between two people than this? Lazarus and the rich man. And then the scripture tells us that both men died. You know, death is a great equalizer, isn't it? We all will pass away someday. We all are limited on this earth in terms of our days. That is why it's important for us to trust in Christ Jesus as soon as we can, so that we know that even if we pass away, we will live forever with the Lord and with each other who have also trusted in Christ. Lazarus was carried by the angels to heaven to be at Abraham's side. Abraham, the great example of faith from the Old Testament. The rich man was buried, and that's all it says about him. He died. He was buried. And verse 23 tells us that he was sent to Hades, which is the place where sinful people go facing judgment before going on into hell. And he was in torment, eternal pain in hell. And so we see this great contrast, not in the world, but in eternity. Whereas Lazarus had nothing on earth, he had everything in heaven because God called him to his side and to be with him and Abraham. The rich man, on the other hand, in eternity, had nothing, was in Hades, suffering every day. It's a very unnerving story. It's a story that can shake you up, and I hope it will shake us all up today. I hope we will be changed by this word of God, as Albert Schweitzer was as a young man in Germany. So what can we learn from this story, from this scripture? Well, I'd like for us, as we humble ourselves before the word of God, to see four very important truths. First, God reverses the standards of this world. The story is called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And notice that the rich man is not named. The name Dives was given to him later, centuries later, in the Latin language. That is the opposite of how the world treats people these days. In the scripture, the rich man is not named, the poor man is named. But in our world today, we know the names of rich people. Have you ever heard the name Bill Gates? How about Donald Trump? Sam Walton, Oprah Winfrey, Warren Buffett. We know the names of rich people, don't we? But do you know the names of five very poor people?
Self.
I mean, maybe you think yourself is that you're. We don't know the poor as we should, do we? We know the rich and famous, but we don't know the poor like we should. The poor are not named. We sometimes refer to them as the poor or the homeless or third world. But a lot of the time, our lives don't intersect with the really poor people of this world, do we? In many places in the United States, there are potter's fields. Those are graveyards where the poor are buried for no expense. They are buried free of charge in the potter's field. It is interesting that one of the rules at a potter's field is that no grave can be marked. Only small numbers mark each grave, no names. In heaven, this will all be reversed. God will know the name of every poor person who has ever lived. I hope he will know our names when we get to heaven because of our faith in Christ, but I know he will know the names of the poor. God reverses the standards of the world. A second truth that we need to see is that God applies his severest judgment to those who are indifferent to the needs of other people. In Jesus' story, the rich man was not mean. He never mistreated Lazarus, the poor man. He didn't kick him or chase him away from his gate. So what did he do that was so horrible that he would suffer such a terrible fate? He was indifferent. He did not care. He did not love. He did not even know Lazarus' name. He merely saw Lazarus as a suffering human being, just part of the daily landscape. Maybe you've heard this quote: the opposite of love is not hatred, but indifference. Have you heard that before? The opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. God judges people who simply don't care about other folks. In the United States, there are two different worlds on display, similar to the contrast that we find in Jesus' story. There are many poor people who have multiple needs, and there are many people who, by the world standards, are quite wealthy. And it's so easy to get caught up in commercialism and materialism. We know there are a lot of people in need around us, but it's so easy to focus upon the next house or the new car or better clothes, eating at a better restaurant. And we gradually tend to feel that it's okay for us to live a life of luxury while others live in poverty. But Jesus tells this story to shock us into the reality of kingdom values. God looks at the world differently than we sometimes look at it. We need to care about the needs of other people. God did. He sent his son, Jesus, to us to save us from our sins. He knew our name when we were poor and lost. And he came to us in deep love. He did not overlook us. He knew everything about us. And therefore he responded because he knew us. A botanist was studying the heather plant, which is found in the Highlands of Scotland. Have any of you ever been to Scotland? Have you seen the heather plants? We had a visit there 12 years ago or more. And one weekend, we drove up into the northern part of Scotland, the Highlands, and there heather grows on the hills. And we got out and we looked at the heather plants. It's beautiful. It's just a good thing to see. So this botanist was studying the heather plant, and while looking through his microscope at the heather plant's beautiful flowers, he was approached by a shepherd who asked what he was doing. Rather than trying to explain, the botanist simply invited the shepherd to look into the microscope and to see for himself the beauty of the heather plant. And when the shepherd saw the beauty of that plant, he exclaimed these words: "My God, and I have been trampling on them all my life." Wow. Is that a word of warning to us? Is it possible that we would simply not notice the beauty of others and the needs of others as if we were trampling on heather, not recognizing the glory of what God places in every human being? These verses invite us to sit alongside Lazarus at the gate and see the world from a different point of view. When we do that, we have to admit that we favor more the rich man than the poor man. Brazil is a large country in South America, and there is a great divide between the wealthy and the poor. I read recently in Sao Paulo, Brazil, that police have stopped seeking to remove beggars from the streets. They've decided rather to try to contain them. And so they're seeking to wall off the poor from the rest of the population. And the city's rich people have literally risen above it all by using helicopters to bypass the poorer regions of Sao Paulo. There are now 240 helicopter landing pads in Sao Paulo, Brazil, many more than you find in New York City or perhaps Shanghai. So is that how we ignore the problem? Is that how we respond to the needs of people around us? Just get a helicopter and fly over it? The rich man in these verses in Luke 16 would probably have bought a helicopter if they had been available in the first century. So it's very important for us to see that God applies severe judgment to people who are indifferent to the needs of other people. Let's look further at a third truth. God is calling us to share his saving love with others before it's too late. In this story, the rich man begs to come back to earth to warn his five brothers. And we get the impression that they are on the same path that he was on. He wants to warn his family about their impending fate, but it is too late. He finally cares about somebody else, but it's too late. Jesus, though, reminds us that we must share our love with others while it is yet day, while we have time to share love with other people. Abraham tells the rich man that his brothers have the word of God to warn them, and if they ignore the word of God, then they will not be convinced, and in fact, they will not be convinced even if someone comes back from the dead. I think Jesus is trying to say to us, this was a forecast of his resurrection, and he is reminding all of us that even though he came to earth, gave himself the cross, was buried, was raised from the dead, and is reigning with the Father now, that even though that is so true, there are a lot of people who still don't believe. Even if a man comes back from the dead, many people still will not believe. The rich man didn't just die and go to hell. He created the path to hell for himself while living on earth by closing his life to the needs of people like Lazarus. What he experienced in the afterlife was merely a continuation of what he started for himself in this life. Perhaps that's a very good definition of hell. Being unable to relate to God or to people with love, finally the rich man realized the futility of his ways, the sin of the indifferent life. There is one more truth I want us to see, and that is that God is calling us to develop a mission perspective and plan. The parable, the verses here, don't end well, do they? They are disturbing. And it disturbed Albert Schweitzer enough to radically change his life path and his plan for his life. We Christians need to identify ourselves as more than just disciples. We need to be missionaries. Once we have come to Christ and received his salvation, we have a mission. We are all missionaries. God sends us into the world with a responsibility to witness and to live the poured out life for others. One day, Wilfred Greenfield, a medical missionary to Labrador, was guest at a dinner in London with a number of socially prominent British men and women. And during the course of the dinner, a lady seated next to him turned and said, "Is it true, Dr. Greenfield, that you are a missionary?" And Dr. Greenfield looked at her for a moment before replying with these words, "Is it true, madam, that you are not?" Powerful question, isn't it? And if you're not, why not? So it's very important for us to live life with a mission perspective, to look for ways to serve, to look for needs that we can meet, and as individual Christians and as a congregation, we need to look for ways to meet the needs of other people. This past Friday night, you were doing that. We had several visiting scholars who had arrived from China. They were new to the community, and you had invited them, and you were offering food, and you were offering fellowship. Many of them probably don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but you showed His love to them. You even helped them know how to buy a car while they're here in the community. You really were caring about their needs, and I think God had a big smile on His face because of what you did Friday night. You are missionaries. God bless you, and so are we, and it's important for us to live with a mission focus. Albert Schweitzer was so impacted by this scripture that he knew he needed to live as a missionary. So he made 14 extended mission trips to Lambarini, Africa, in the country of Gabon at that time, and the total time that he gave to the people there through all of his 14 trips was 48 years. Almost half of his life was given to serving the poor. He died in Lambarini, Africa, September 4, 1965, at the age of 90, among the people whom he loved so deeply. Think about this. He was on a mission trip at the age of 90. What will we be doing when we're 90? What will we be doing this week for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will we be meeting the needs of other people? As we close, I'd like for us to ponder a question. Who is your Lazarus? Who is the person at your gate? Who is the person in your life who has some needs that you can help meet? The needs might be financial. Maybe you can share a little bit of your financial resources. The need might be emotional. Maybe you need to encourage someone. Maybe you need to be a friend to someone. Maybe you need to reach out to those who have just arrived from China and help them know how much you love them and how much God loves them. Maybe you just need to reach out in your marriage to your spouse or to your parents. Maybe you need to help meet the spiritual needs of people around you. People that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. People who need to grow in their faith. You can help them. It's very important for each of us to look around and say, okay, who is my Lazarus? The rich man never saw Lazarus. Didn't know his name. Knew of his needs, but didn't care. Just don't be like that. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be like that. Be different. Be Christ-like. And let's reach out to make a difference in the needs of other people. And Jesus is telling us in these words this morning that our response to the needs of others, for good or bad, affects our eternal destiny. That's how important it is. What decision do you need to make now that will affect your response to your Lazarus tomorrow? Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for speaking through your word into our lives, calling for us to be changed. Thank you, Father, for giving us the grace of another opportunity, the grace of a second chance to be more for you than we've ever been. Lord, may you find each of us this week reaching out to meet the needs of other people. Thank you for reaching out and meeting our needs through your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.